Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, alhamdulillah, we are experiencing extremely hot weather these few days, and I believe it's going to go on for another day or two. It's just very, very hot out here. We make dua that this weather that we are experiencing, inshallah, could be the cause of much needed and beneficial rain, inshallah. I think we should continuously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for beneficial rain also. Okay, we commence this morning with our Monday morning focus, alhamdulillah, the ideal Muslimah. And today we're looking at a Muslim woman is not arrogant, nor does she have pride, and she's humble and modest, inshallah. That will be followed by Socially Speaking with Mulana Mohammed Venka, our esteemed guest from KwaZulu-Natal, and this morning we speak about the harms of jealousy and malice. Very, very pertinent topic, inshallah. We'll look at some of the ahadith, like Mulana always does, some of the incidents, and also how to give up the spiritual malady. So, something to look forward to, inshallah. Well, we start off then with Monday morning focus, the ideal Muslimah. And like I said, we're looking at a Muslim woman that should not be arrogant, and she should not have pride. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, a true Muslim woman is not arrogant or proud, and she does not look down her nose at other women who may be inferior to her in terms of perhaps beauty, perhaps wealth, lineage, or status. Why? Because the Muslim woman who understands the teachings of Islam knows that arrogance and pride in this world will deny a woman the blessings of the hereafter, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will deny to men and women who are arrogant. So what is it? If we possess these qualities of being arrogant and having pride, and they say looking down upon people or looking down upon other people that to you may seem inferior, in terms of beauty, that person, I'm beautiful, that person is less beautiful than me, so I feel I'm better just because that person is better. You may feel you are more beautiful. You may have more wealth than the other person. Doesn't make you a better person. Lineage, you come from a better family than the other, doesn't make you a better person, or even your status for that matter. So we need to be very, very careful as Muslims to realize the importance of this very important topic that we're talking about, arrogance and pride. So, we must never think that we are better than other people, and we must never, as Muslims, have pride within ourselves. Obviously, Allah does not like people that are that are arrogant, and Allah does not love people that have pride with them. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 28, verse 83, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that house of the hereafter we shall give to those who intend not high-handedness or mischief on earth, and the end is best for the righteous. That house of the hereafter we shall give to those who intend not high-handedness or mischief on earth, and the end is best for the righteous. And a Muslim woman also knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those who arrogantly boast. Again, in the Holy Quran, in chapter 31, verse 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and swell not your cheek for pride at men, nor walk in insolence through the earth, for Allah loves not any arrogant boaster. Allah does not like arrogance. Allah does not like pride. He does not like people to think that they are better than the others. So we should never think that we are better than another person that may be a little inferior to us. And when we talk about, with regards to obviously their beauty, their wealth, their lineage, or their status. Whoever examines the hadith texts will be astonished at the attention given by the Prophet ﷺ to eradicating arrogance from people's heart by forbidding it. So Rasulullah ﷺ never liked any people that were arrogant in any way. So he would forbid it completely. He would not like it at all, so he would forbid it completely, deterring it and warning those men and women who were afflicted with it that they stand to lose everything in the year after for the sake of an atom's weight of pride that the shaitan has placed in their hearts. So remember, if we have even an atom's worth of pride, it's the smallest bit of pride within ourselves, it's none other than shaitan that has actually placed it into our hearts. And such people are among the arrogant ones to whom Allah has denied entry to paradise, as is stated in the hadith narrated by Muslim. No one will enter paradise who has an atom's weight of pride in his heart. No one will enter paradise who has an atom's weight of pride in his heart. And a man asks, what if a man likes his clothes and his shoes to look good? And he said, Rasulullah ﷺ said, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. That is, wanting to look good is not pride or arrogance. So, if you are looking good, if you are dressed well, if you are clean, if you are, looking good, by just dressing well and looking good, basically, that doesn't say you have pride. Pride is denying the truth and despising people. So pride is denying the truth and despising people, making people feel bad, making people feel that I am better than you. Just dressing good doesn't make you feel that way. So we are allowed as Muslims to dress good and to look good at all times. Our Prophet ﷺ used to be, immaculately dressed and, clean and looking presentable at all the time. So as Muslims, that is what we need to be, dressed well, looking presentable, looking good, dressing well. You don't have to put them on the most expensive things around, clothing around, but you need to look good at all times. So dressing good and looking presentable and looking clean, that is not pride. That is what every Muslim should be. But it's when we start looking down upon other people and making them feel inferior to us, that is what Allah doesn't like. Haritha ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, shall I not tell you about the people of hell? Everyone who is harsh, who is proud, who is disdainful and arrogant, those are the people, that are the people of hell, that would be in Jahannam. It is enough for those arrogant, proud women or men who boast to their friends to know of the moral humiliation that Allah the Almighty, the All-Powerful, has prepared for them in the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even look at them or even speak to them or even praise them, and this will be the ultimate humiliation. So do we want to humiliate people so that we will be humiliated in the year after? Definitely not. So we need to live in the right way. We need to not be arrogant. We must not even have an atom's pride within us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of resurrection, Allah will not look at those who let their garments trail on the ground out of arrogance. Allah will not look at those who let their garments trail on the ground of arrogance. I don't know how to really interpret this, because these days, if you look at our the way we are dressed, we wear the most beautiful of abayas. I'm just generally speaking, I may be wrong, but if you look at our ladies that wear their abayas and they walk and those abayas are trailing on the ground, for one, and then we go and read our salah, with these clothes. I don't know if those clothes are clean or park enough for us to then, you know, perform our salah in there. We need to be so careful. I don't know if this is part of arrogance too, but we really need to be very careful with regards to this. Our men, their pens, sometimes we feel, you know, how can you wear your pens above your ankle? It doesn't look good. But what is the sunnah method? Our men need to actually just, if their pens are for that matter too long, then fold it up. That shows the simplicity of a person, I think. So really we need to be very careful with regards to this. So yeah, just look at that. I don't know, I'm not sure about all of this, but I think it's something that we need to think about. There are three, it is said that there are three whom Allah will not speak to or praise or look at on the Day of Judgment. There are three kinds of people that Allah will not speak to. He will not praise that people, and He will not even look at them on the Day of Judgment. So do we want to be those? Definitely not. So let's see what they are. And they will have, he also says that they will have a severe punishment. These are the three. An old man who commits adultery. That's number one. An old man who commits adultery. A king who tells lies. And a poor man who is arrogant. A poor man who is arrogant. So that's the three people who will not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to them. He will not praise them, and He will not look at them on the Day of Judgment. Pride is one of the divine attributes, and weak human creatures have no right to it. Those who are arrogant and proud transgressors in the realm of divine, vying with the Almighty Creator for one of His sublime attributes. So they deserve the severe punishment to which the Prophet ﷺ referred. Allah says, "Mighty is my cloak and pride is my garment. Whoever vies with me for either of them, I will punish him." Many ahadith warn the believers against being tempted by pride at moments of human weakness. The Prophet ﷺ used various methods to warn them so that the pious believers would be protected from the awful disease of arrogance. And for example, whoever thinks highly of himself or walks with an arrogant attitude will meet Allah when He is angry with him. So, you know, just something that we need to really think about, inshallah. So really, we need to be so careful not to be arrogant and not to be, not even to be, have an ounce of pride within ourselves. Then a Muslim woman is also humble and very modest. It comes as no surprise that a Muslim woman who understands anything of the teachings of Islam should be humble and modest, gentle, tolerant, and kind in her dealing with others. So we need to be modest, gentle, tolerant, and kind, and of course humble in our dealings with others. She finds hadith which complement those that warn men and women against arrogance, texts that encourage modesty and humility, promising everyone who humbles himself for the sake of Allah that he or she will be raised in status, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith narrated by Muslim. And this is what he said: no one is humble for the sake of Allah, but Allah will raise him in status. No one is humble for the sake of Allah, but Allah will raise him in status. Allah told me that you should be so humble towards one another that no one should boast to anyone else and no one should oppress anyone. The Muslim woman who studies the life of the Prophet ﷺ will find in his sublime character a unique living example of modesty, humility, gentleness, genuineness, noble attitudes, and tolerance. So this was a character of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You would find it in his character. He was a unique person. He was a living example of modesty. He was modest. He had humility in him. He was gentle. He was genuine. He had noble attitudes, and he was so tolerant. And there are so many examples that can be shared with our listeners, but of course time is not does not permit us. For example, just one simple one. Whenever he passed a group of boys playing, he would stop and greet them, joking naturally with them. His high status as a prophet and a leader of the Ummah did not prevent him from being spontaneous and natural with others. So he was humble. He was towards everybody, to the youngest, to the oldest. He would stop in this example that he would actually, when he was passing little boys playing, he would stop to greet them. He was a prophet. He was the leader of the Ummah, but this didn't stop him from stopping for a few seconds, stopping, talking to the little boys, greeting them and making jokes with them, even sometimes play with them. And this would come spontaneously, it would come just naturally, it was within him. He used to just do it without having to think about it. Anas radiallahu anhu said that he passed by a group of children and greeted them. And he added, the Prophet ﷺ used to do this. Anas gave another account of the Prophet's humility. Anas radiallahu anhu used to, and who would know him better than Anas radiallahu anhu? He reported that one of the slave women of Benida used to take the Prophet's hand and lead him about wherever she wanted until he had sorted out her needs. Tamim ibn Usayd came to Medina to ask about the rules of Islam. He was a stranger, but he did not find any barrier or guard between him and the Prophet, the first man in the Islamic State who was on the minbar addressing the people. Tamim came forward to ask some questions, and the Prophet ﷺ welcomed him with all the warmth, humility and compassion. Tamim tells the story as was related by Imam Muslim. This is just a story that I would like to share with you before we end our program, or at least this slot of the program. I came to the Prophet ﷺ while he was giving a speech, and I said, O Messenger of Allah, a stranger has come to ask about his religion. He does not know what his religion is. The Prophet ﷺ then welcomed him, welcomed me, interrupted his speech and came to me. That was the type of person the Prophet ﷺ. He was busy giving a speech, and when this person came to him wanting to know about the religion, he actually stopped his speech. He interrupted it and he came to him. A chair was brought for him, so he sat down and he began to teach me from what Allah had taught him. Then he resumed his speech and he finished what he had been saying. So he first sat down and he explained to the person and he taught him about the religion, and then he continued with his speech. Would we be doing it today? I mean, imagine standing on the minbar and giving your lecture, and then a person coming to you and asking you to, wants to know more about the religion. Would you actually stop your speech? We wouldn't do it. But now this is, we don't expect it to be happening in these days, but this was the type of person that our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He was so humble, he was so modest, he was so, he cared about every person. He never wanted to hurt anybody. That was the kind of people type of person that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And if we can just try and be a little like him, I mean we can never be like him, but we can try and emulate him in some of his ways, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ used to instill the attitude of humility based on tolerance, gentleness and a good nature in the hearts of his companions. And he said, Rasulullah ﷺ said, if I were to be invited to a simple meal of a sheep's foot or leg, or if I were to be offered this food as a gift, I would accept. This is modesty in its purest form and human greatness of the highest degree. So, these are just some examples, but we can learn from these little examples. And inshallah, we should learn to become, to get rid of all these things that we have within us, all these attitudes that we have, that we are better than everybody else, there's nobody like us, and walk around with our nose in the air. No, arrogance has no place in Islam. And of course, you know, we need to make great efforts to try and change our way, and especially pride, another very important thing that we shouldn't. Sometimes we don't realize it, but you know, after having told you these things today, inshallah, we will become a little more aware of the way we love, inshallah. Allah make it easy for us, and Allah save us from these terrible qualities of arrogance and pride, inshallah. Well, I'll be back next week with more. So for now, that's it for Monday Morning Focus, inshallah. When we return, we'll be speaking to Maulana Mohammed Venkat, our esteemed guest from KwaZulu-Natal. And again, we're speaking about something very, very important, the harms of jealousy and malice, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking. I'm your hostess, Zenith. And joining me online is Maulana Mohammed Venkat. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Jazakallahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum for the opportunity.
Okay, Maulana, before I give you a chance, let me just say something to our listeners out there. How often does the ordinary Muslim fall into the the sin of envy when we see many of those who are inferior to us in beauty, in knowledge and intelligence, wallowing in riches and luxury, when we do not even have the smallest part of what they enjoy? The alert, truly guided Muslims, however, is saved from stumbling into such error because we have learned from the teachings of Islam that everything that happens in life happens according to the will and the decree of Allah. The pleasures of this life, no matter how great, are as nothing in comparison to the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those believing men and women who are content with what Allah has given them. The true value of a true Muslim rests in our level of taqwa and our good deeds, not in our transient worldly earnings. The more these values are enforced in our souls, the purer and the more tranquil our soul becomes, and we will become people of paradise who have earned the pleasure of Allah, even if our acts of worship are few. Maulana, Jazakallahu khair for joining us once again, and over to you.
Okay, Barakallahu feekum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected listeners, when we look at the world today and amongst the many spiritual maladies and sicknesses that has overtaken many a individual, one of those many spiritual sicknesses and ailments are what we refer to as hasad. You know, this is a word which is very loosely translated. When you paraphrase this word or translate this word into the English language, you know, we translate it as jealousy, or perhaps we can look at it as malice. Now, in the light of Quran and Sunnah, you know, when we look at the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the repercussions and the consequences of such a sin, it's so great, it is so grave, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the riwayat of Bazaar, he said that dabba ilaykum da'ul umami qablakum, that the sins and the vices of the previous nations have crept into my ummah. He said, when I say that, I refer to two sins primarily. Al-baghda'u wal-hasadu. Number one is malice, and number two is jealousy. And then Nabi alayhi salam said, al-baghda'u iyal-halika. If I may liken malice to something physical, what did he say? If I may liken malice to something physical, he said, malice is like a razor, like a razor blade. He said, don't be wrong, it won't shave your hair away, it will shave your iman away. So malice won't shave your hair away, it will shave your iman away. That is the stepping stone to jealousy, when you cannot see the good in others. And what the ulama have written so beautifully and what they have explained, that you get different stages of jealousy. Number one, أَيَّتَمَنَّا زَوَالَ النِّعْمَةِ. where you passionately desire that the next person must be deprived. Even though I know, we find this often, this happens, even though I know I would never, never be able to drive the car that that person is driving, or I would never be able to live in the home that that person is living in. But what happens? We start burning on the inside. We start burning on the inside. And this is exactly what happens to a jealous person. What do we say? Let us see how we can curtail the progress of others, suppress the popularity of others. Let us see how we can bring others down. You know, we cannot see others progressing in the world today. Wallahi, this is a sickness. This is a spiritual malady that has no cure. It has absolutely no cure. As long as you have the sickness in your heart, wallahi, you will not be able to cure yourself. So we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you know, this is something very, very important. You know, we need to guard ourselves, we need to protect ourselves from this evil spiritual malady of jealousy and malice. We need to make a concerted effort. And this is something that has gripped so many people. So what the ulama have written, they say the first stage of jealousy is where you passionately desire that the next person must be deprived, even though I will not be able to enjoy it, but the next person must be deprived. The second stage of jealousy that the ulama have explained, أَيَّتَمَنَّا زَوَالَ نِعْمَةٍ لِرَغْبَةِ فِيهِ, where you passionately desire that the next person must be deprived so I could enjoy it for myself. So the person must go into insolvency so I could get into the market. The person must, go down so I could exploit the situation. So really, this is a very serious sickness. It's a serious ailment, that is afflicting the community, you know, perhaps in families, in our businesses, in our homes. You know, there are so many, many sins, that have gripped us, but this is one sin that leads to thousands of sins. And the ulama have explained that this is Ummul Amrad. This is the mother of all sins. If we don't make a concerted effort to rid our hearts of this jealousy, really this thing will eat up our good deeds, like Nabi alayhi salam said, your jealousy will eat up your good deeds like how fire will eat and destroy wood.
Definitely, Malana. Now, there are some things that I wanted to ask you with regards to jealousy. You know, many people perform so many acts of worship outwardly, but unfortunately, their hearts are filled with feelings of resentment and envy and hatred for them. What is the status of this type of person?
Yes, absolutely. The ulama have explained, like I quoted the hadith just now, Nabi alayhi salam said that it won't shave your hair away, it will shave your iman away. The ulama have explained that, in this world, a person who has this malady and the sickness, there are four things that will grip him. And this is something we need to reflect and ponder over. Number one is غَمٌ لَا يَنْقَطِعَ, unending depression. A person who is jealous, a person who has malice in his heart, he goes through unending depression. What is his depression? Let me see how I can curtail the progress of others. How I can suppress the popularity of others. It hurts him, it provokes him, it needles him. But no, it's not within his reach. So what happens? You start instituting measures. Let me do this to the man, let me do that to the man. And Nabi alayhi salam had explained in the hadith, he said that people, when jealousy gets the better of them, people will go to the extremes and the extents of even killing others just to get that satisfaction. So it will eat you up to a point where you will go to such a point you will be ready to kill your fellow brother. That's number one. Number two, the ulama have explained, what is the downside of it? Musibatun la yu'ajjar alayha. This person is forever in problems and difficulties, and there's no reward for that. Number three, yaskhat alayhi rabbu. Allah Ta'ala becomes displeased with that person. And number four, tughlaq alayhi abwab al-tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala now divinely deprives you of carrying out the orders of Allah. It becomes so difficult to carry out the orders of Allah. You will consider ibadah to be a burden, like it happens today. So respected listeners, we need to seriously reflect and ponder over this. This is affecting so many of our sisters. There are so many brothers who are caught up in this, in this whirlwind of jealousy, of malice. We cannot see others progressing. We carry this jealousy in our hearts. We carry grudges in our hearts, for other people.
Alhamdulillah. Now, Mawlana, so many a times we hear and we read of many examples of how a person whose acts of worship were few, but in the sight of Allah, you know, their status is raised, and also that they are raised, they enter Jannah. Can you share with us some incidents, or, you know, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, perhaps. Let us look at two incidents that, you know, one is from Quran Kareem, and one we can look into the ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One day the Nabi of Allah was sitting on the pulpit, and he said, "Oh my Sahaba, the person to walk in from that direction is amongst the dwellers of Jannah." So Amr bin As, who's the narrator of this hadith, says that after a few moments, ordinary simple man, he walks into the masjid, into the gathering, he sits down. After the gathering, he gets up and he leaves. The next day, no coincidence, Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, makes the announcement, the same man comes in, and then he walks out after the gathering. Third day, no coincidence, Nabi alayhi wa sallam makes the announcement, the person who walks in, he's a Jannati. Amr bin As said, "You know what, I have to find out. It's the same man, three consecutive days." So Amr bin As said, on the third day, I decided to approach this man. I said, "Tell me, can I spend perhaps a few nights with you?" He said, "By all means, come home." He said, "Anyway, I got to the home of the Sahabi, assuming that he's a person who's extremely religious, who fasts the days and spends his nights in Tahajjud. But to my utter surprise, you know, I found that he slept at night. He used to get up at the time of Salah. You know, ordinary, simple man, simpleton, as we would say." He said, after 3 days had lapsed, and I was on the verge of trivializing the piety of this man and saying, "Ya Allah, why have I come?" I decided to come to him and I said, "My brother, tell me, you know, the 3 days you came into the gathering of Nabi alayhi salam consecutively, Allah's Nabi said, you're a Jannati. What is the quality that you have in your life?" He said, "There's nothing outstanding. You have seen my days, you have seen my nights." He said that, no, kindly share with me. So Amr bin As said, "I thought I'm wasting my time. I decided to walk away. This man calls me." And he said, "You really want to know?" I said, "Kindly disclose to me the formula of Jannah. غير أني لا أجد على أحد من المسلمين." He said, "Never in my life has my heart harbored jealousy or malice with another Muslim in relation to the wealth and the affluence that Allah has given him. If Allah has given another man better than me, never in my life was I jealous over any man in this world." So Amr bin As, he then tells this man, that is exactly what has made you escalate and climb the stages of Jannah. What did Nabi alayhi salam tell Anas? You get up in the morning, you know, some of us, we get up in the morning, we monitor our cholesterol, our diabetes, our sugar, whatever have you. Nabi alayhi salam said, you get up in the morning, look at your heart. Look at the condition of your heart. And if you are comforted that your heart does not harbor jealousy or malice against another person, oh Anas, you have revived one of my greatest teachings. You do that, you love me, you would be in Jannah. So subhanAllah, simple actions will take a person a long way. On the reverse, we look at what happens to jealousy. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Qarun. Who was Qarun? He was the cousin of Musa alayhi salam. His father and Musa alayhi salam's father were brothers. He was amongst those who had communicated with Allah at Mount Tur. And he had memorized the Torah by memory. But jealousy gripped the heart of Qarun. What was the jealousy of Qarun? Why is my cousin Musa a prophet? And why am I not a prophet? You know, respected listeners, often it happens, boy proposes to a girl 1 month before the nikah, email circulating, anonymous messages circulating, you deserve someone better for your daughter, that's a rotten boy, rotten family, just to jeopardize the marriage, just as a result of jealousy. So Qarun, what he does, he comes to an immoral woman, and he said, "Do me a favor, the next time Musa stands up to address a congregation, I want you to tell him that Musa, sit down, you have committed adultery with me." So Musa alayhi salam addresses the Bani Israel. This immoral woman comes and she says, "Moses, you rather sit down, you have committed adultery with me." Musa alayhi salam goes to one side. He falls in sajda. He looks at this woman. He said, "When did I, let alone touching you, when did I ever come close to you?" He said, "Musa, forgive me, Qarun provoked me because of his jealousy." Musa alayhi salam said, "Oh, may Allah, if I am your Nabi, show me how you take revenge." Allah Ta'ala said, "Oh Musa, the land is at your command." He said, "Oh my Allah, if the land is at my command, then swallow Qarun." The Quran says, "فَخَصَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ." the earth split and he continued sinking into the earth. And Nabi alayhi salam said, he will continue sinking right up to the end of time. Why? As a result of jealousy, he died as a kafir and the entire world witnessed what happened to him. We look at the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. Subhanallah, what beautiful examples we learn in Quran al-Kareem. Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers were so jealous over him. We all know the incident. They threw him in the deserted well. As a result of jealousy, what was the jealousy of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam? We are speaking about the brothers of a Nabi, the sons of a Nabi. What was the jealousy? That why does our father have so much of love for Yusuf and Binyamin? Whereas we are talented youth, talented youngsters. You know, we need to put an end to this. At least we put an end to Yusuf, we can have the love of our father for ourselves. Now this is exactly how the mind of a jealous man operates. He would never think to himself that, you know what, that person is enjoying what he is enjoying because of the privileges that Allah has afforded him. Let me also imbibe those qualities in my life by virtue of which Allah will favor me with those same qualities. But no, what do we say? Let us see how I can put an end to him. Let me tarnish his reputation. Let me bring him down. Let me shut him down. This is not the quality of a believer. Respected listeners, let us see the good in others. Today we smile, we make salam, but our hearts are not clean. Like they say in English, I love the man who openly hates me, but I hate the one who pretends to love me. If you love someone, tell the man and be honest in your statement. If you don't like him, don't just say it to him. Be honest. You rather tell him, I don't like you. So respect the listeners. Like I mentioned, this is one sin that unfortunately has gripped so many individuals. In fact, Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah protect one and all. And this is something that affects people on every level, whether the scholars, whether the businessman, whether a mother in her home, whether a person working in a business. You know, jealousy has destroyed, you know, so many individuals.
So Maulana, you know, we know the harms of jealousy, but what are the effects of having a heart that is free of hatred and envy, malice and treachery in Islam?
Yes, absolutely. The Quran says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. So before entering into Jannah, Allah Ta'ala says there will be streams in Jannah. One stream will be such, people will drink the water of that stream. Allah will remove jealousy, Allah will remove animosity, pride, arrogance, haughtiness. And thereafter a person will enter Jannah. What do we learn from this, respectlessness? As long as we are carrying the spiritual maladies in our hearts, we would never enter Jannah. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. Allah says, as long as there's jealousy and malice in the hearts, brothers are not brothers. But when jealousy and malice comes out from the heart, we're living in a clean society, then even strangers become brothers. So respected listeners, this is a very vital aspect, a fundamental ingredient of our iman, the important component of our faith, that as long as we have this jealousy in our hearts, remember, our entry into Jannah is pending. Our entry into Jannah is pending until we don't, those qualities are not removed from our hearts. So, you know, this is something very, very important, that our Jannah, our Akhirat, is resting upon either you have jealousy in your heart or either you rid your heart of jealousy. And I promise you, respected listeners, as long as there is jealousy in the heart, you will keep on burning inside, it will eat you up, and you will not be able to live your life. You will see that man, and you will not be able to tolerate it. You will go to the extremes and the extents of causing harm to the next person, even though he may be Muslim, just as a result of jealousy. You know, like the Arabic poet said it so beautifully, he said, oh jealous person over what Allah has given, do you know to whom you have shown disregard? You have actually frowned upon the decision of Allah. If Allah has given another person better than you, make dua for that man. Make dua. Allah will inspire.
Maulana, how do we rid ourselves of jealousy? How do we give up this, you know, the spiritual malady? Hello? Assalamu alaikum. I think we've lost Mulana, but we'll try and get back to him. I think this is a very important question, how to actually get rid of jealousy, how to, you know, this terrible character trait that many of us do have. But stay with us. We'll try and get hold of Mulana in a few moments. Stay tuned.
Socially Speaking is a live interactive program that deals with relevant social issues. Every Monday at 10 a.m., you can join the discussion with Sister Zenith and her esteemed guest speaker, Maulana Muhammad Banker.
We study many modern writers today say that Islam, na'udhu billah, was spread through the sword. Islam was not spread through fighting, but Islam was spread through that noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he's exalted by the very declaration of the Quran.
Every alternate week they will also be discussing relevant social issues from an Islamic point of view. Be sure to catch this enlightening, inspiring and spiritually uplifting discussion only on Radio Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sorry about that, Mulana. I think we just lost you for a few minutes.
Yes.
But we'd like to just quickly end this program, and I think it's so important. How do we rid ourselves of jealousy?
Yes, I think this is vital. Like I mentioned before we got cut off, number one is that we should make dua. Make dua for the person, you know, who we are. Make a lot of dua.
Hello? Hello? Oh, I think we've lost Mulana again. I don't know if we're going to get him back online or is that too late? Hello? Well, unfortunately, I think we've lost Mulana and we've got to kind of end the program right now. Okay, shall we end the program? Okay, we're just trying to get hold of Mulana, and I think it's so important if we could just get him to share this with us. Okay, Mulana, please continue.
Yes, we're speaking about how do we rid ourselves of this jealousy. Number one, like we had mentioned, make dua for the person on who you're jealous for. Number two, give charity on the name of that person on a daily basis. Give charity. You know, Imam Abu Hanifa, there's a beautiful incident that's been recorded. There's a person that used to always insult him, used to ridicule him. And Imam Abu Hanifa used to shower this man with gifts. He used to shower this man with gifts. This man thought to himself, I insult this great man and he's showering me with gifts. This was the quality of the Nabi of Allah. He pelted him with pebbles, with stones. He presented them with roses. So this person thinks to himself, you know what, I insult a man and he showers me with gifts. I'd rather stop and curtail this. So he stopped insulting Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa stopped showering him with gifts. He said that as long as you are insulting me, you are escalating and wiping away, you know, my evil and escalating my stages in Jannah. So as a token of appreciation, I used to shower you with gifts. So respected listeners, when you are jealous over someone, in reality, you are wiping away your good deeds. You are taking the sins of that man, you are wiping away your good deeds. So my message to you is, if you have jealousy in your heart, make a concerted effort, make dua for that person, make dua for that person, give charity on the name of that person, and inshallah, you know, by virtue of this, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make it easy for us, you know, to rid our hearts of this evil malady of sickness and jealousy.
Inshallah, jazakallahu khair, Mulana. May Allah ta'ala free our hearts of malice, hatred, envy and treachery, and may Allah ta'ala grant us purity of heart, inshallah. Well, that's it then from us. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.